President Trump said today he will not back down on his plan to hike tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, despite growing pressure from members of his own party. Politicians and economists are talking about a potential trade war. President Trump says he doesn't think there will be one, but there could be. It's happened before. Let's bring in Chad Bown. He's senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and host of the weekly podcast Trade Talks. Chad, welcome. And I keep hearing that the last time the United States was in a major trade war, it was 1930, and Congress triggered it with something called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. What was that?
So the Smoot-Hawley Tariff was a broad-based set of import restrictions that the United States imposed in the 1930s. Now, it's often confounded with the Great Depression, but there's a couple of things that are worth clarifying. These tariffs didn't cause the Great Depression. They were actually set up in legislation that was established a couple of years before the Great Depression actually started. So the chain of events were you had the stock market crash in 1929. It led to the Great Depression. In 1930, the United States imposes import restrictions, these things called the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. And then over the next couple of years, you had countries all around the world impose lots and lots of different sorts of import restrictions. Mm-hmm. But it also turns out that the Smoot-Hawley tariffs themselves weren't really the trigger for those other countries imposing their own trade restrictions. And so it also wasn't kind of a trigger for the trade war that ultimately erupted.
Huh. Well, let's go back just a little bit. What was the philosophy of the lawmakers who decided it was time to pass that bill?
So what they were trying to do at the time was to assist farmers in the United States that were suffering from low prices. The problem were that these farmers were also large exporters of their agricultural products, and so tariffs weren't actually going to end up helping them all that much. So it ended up being a pretty poorly designed policy even from the start.
Hmm. So as these tensions between the United States and other countries start heating up, what's the feeling in the United States? Did the lawmakers immediately feel that they had made a mistake? Were American companies revolting? What was the feeling like here?
I think the American economy quickly got overwhelmed with other events. Trade was not a huge share of the U.S. economy back then. And so while the tariffs didn't help matters, they weren't really a big part of the debate as the United States slid into the Great Depression and then had other bigger economic policy fish to fry, if you will, where you had, you know, sort of catastrophic monetary policy decisions being made. There wasn't any great sense that it should reverse these policies, but there wasn't a sense that they should pile on and add even more import restrictions as well.
So let's jump ahead then to 2018. Does this resemble 1930 at all?
Not yet. So part of what happened in response to the 1930s is after the Second World War, the United States, Great Britain, in a number of other countries, built a brand new trading system to try to avoid the kind of mistakes and downward spiral of trade policy actions that we had seen arise in the 1930s. Mm. And so in 1947, they established this thing called the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. It was a basic multilateral rules-based system for trade. It's essentially the same one that we live under today. Today, it's called the World Trade Organization, but it's basically the same set of rules. And what these rules do is they provide a much fairer, much more non-discriminatory, and a transparent approach to trade policymaking. What we've seen happen so far with the Trump administration is potentially imposing new tariffs on products like steel and aluminum. These are worrisome, and they're going to be economically costly for the American economy. But so far, they're relatively small in scope. Mm. He's not raising tariffs over the entire U.S. economy, say. This is only about 2% of U.S. imports. And we also have procedures in place for other countries to respond to those kinds of trade policy actions today that we didn't have in the 1930s. So we're sort of just at the first step. It's worrisome what we're seeing so far, but I think we're still a far cry away from where we were in the 1930s.
Well, another big difference is the state of the economy. Smoot-Hawley in 1930 came after the stock market crash. You know, we're in the midst of an economic crisis in this country. In 2018, it's a very different picture. The economy's humming along. Does the state of the economy make a difference when you're thinking about these tariffs?
It does, but I would argue kind of in the opposite direction. And that is, you know, we really wouldn't expect to see major impulsive calls for import protection when the economy is doing relatively well, as we're seeing right now. We do expect to see companies that have to compete with imports and they're suffering during a recession, say, to be much more likely to ask for protection. And so that's what is a little bit worrisome. If the economy were to somehow go into a downturn, we might end up seeing a lot more demands for the kinds of trade barriers that President Trump seems really interested in imposing. So the ones that he's imposing at the moment, in many instances, you know, aren't needed necessarily. They aren't being necessarily requested wholeheartedly by American industries and companies, especially when it comes to things like what he's proposing on automobiles. You know, there's really no call by the American automobile industry to ask for new tariffs. And so that is a little bit worrisome.
But the president has been talking about these tariffs ever since he was campaigning for the White House. And his trade advisor, Peter Navarro, said that you really can't compare what happened in the 1930s with what's happening today because, as he said, that was the first shot in the war, whereas this latest tariff is a defensive response to what other countries have been doing to the United States for years. Do you think there's any truth to that?
There's a very small grain of truth to the Trump administration's approach, and that is there is at the moment global overcapacity in the steel and aluminum industries, and that needs to be addressed. And some of that is coming out of excessive production expansion in China. But what's really problematic is the Trump administration's approach to dealing with that issue. They're potentially imposing tariffs under a trade law called Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962. It's a national security law.
Right.
They're making the argument that they need to impose tariffs to protect American national security. That is not really a legitimate argument. When you look at the data, most of the steel that the United States imports does not come from China. It actually comes from our allies. The biggest sources are countries like Canada, the European Union, Mexico, Japan, South Korea. These are countries with which we have strategic military alliances and common defenses in many cases. So to say that stopping imports from those countries would somehow improve the American national security, I just think is an extremely bogus argument. It's not to say that there doesn't need to be something done about the underlying problem. It's just the approach that the Trump administration has taken to deal with that problem is really, really problematic.
Well, the president also says that trade wars are easy to win. He tweeted that last week. Is he right about that?
Absolutely not. There's no one who wins in a trade war in the country sense, at least. What is going to happen is trading partners are going to retaliate against the United States. So we're already seeing reports that the European Union is establishing the products that American companies and farmers currently send to Europe that it's preparing to retaliate over if the Trump administration goes ahead with this. A lot of these are products that have nothing to do with steel or aluminum. You know, it may be bourbon from Kentucky.
Harley-Davidson motorcycles.
Harley-Davidson. Right, or dairy products, or blue jeans. And so if you're a worker in one of these companies, you're saying to yourself, wait a second, I'm not benefiting at all from these steel or aluminum tariffs. And not only am I not benefiting, but I'm going to be caught in the crossfire of President Trump's trade war. So no, there really are no winners in heading down this kind of path.
And what about in 1930? Did we win that one?
No, in 1930, it was a complete disaster. In fact, I was just rereading my Peterson Institute colleague's, Doug Irwin, his book that's called Trade Policy Disaster, Lessons from the 1930s. I would highly recommend it. It was all countries lost, and this is what led to the broad agreement that we needed to do something different, that we needed to establish a new system to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. And that's why over the war period, even in the 1940s, there was really deep, intense discussions to develop a new system for trade that would prevent us from ever going back to what we did in the 1930s.
That's Chad Bown. He's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics in Washington. He hosts the weekly podcast Trade Talks. Chad, thanks for the conversation.
Thanks for having me.